Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe started an hour and a half ago. 713-780-3776. All right, Rockets Mavs yesterday, Joe. Rockets win a basketball game. They're rolling right now. Rockets are red hot. Fourth in a row. They didn't cover, though. I thought they would, so I fell to 3-3 on the year. But what did you think of this victory for the Rockets yesterday?
I think the most important thing for me is it's the game that they lose last year. Shooting as poorly as they did. I just think like what we've seen, the growth we're seeing from Men and Alpi, and then even having Kevin Durant on Nets' best shooting night. Last year, like with like the way the offense was going, if you're shooting around 27% from the three-point line, you're not winning that basketball game very often. So I think it's just good that they got that win when they didn't play their best basketball. It's the only game this season they've won that hasn't been a blowout. So, you know, it wasn't great. Like, it wasn't pretty the whole time, but they found a way to win. That's what matters.
Yeah, I mean, a win is a win is a win is a win. Like, that, and look, in the NBA, you're going to have games that you play poorly. Like, it's just the way it's going to be. You're going to have 10 games where you play poorly and lose, and you're going to have 10 games where you play really well and win, no matter who you're playing. Yesterday was a game where they didn't play all that well, and they still won by 8. Wasn't a comfortable win, but you still win the game. Didn't shoot it well. I thought they were very sloppy with the basketball. Very, very sloppy with the basketball. They turned it over 17 times. I thought a lot of it was like, you know, like sometimes you just give credit to the defense for turning you over. Like, you know, they make good deflections or, you know, good defensive play. Like, they were sloppy passes, like careless sloppy passes. Kevin Durant had a few in crunch time where it's like, what are you? You're one of the greatest players ever. Could you be a little careful with the basketball? Alpi Şengün is always a little careless with the basketball. Min has his moments, too. So they were very sloppy. They didn't shoot the three ball well, and they still won by 8 points. Cool. Move on. But I thought they were a little bit lucky to win because they did not play well. They probably didn't play well enough to deserve to win.
Yeah, it was very reminiscent of the first two games of the season. I think we've had 6 games this year now. 3 of them have looked ultra sloppy. 3 of them have looked very clean. And I don't know if that's I don't think it's all the point guard thing either. At first, I was kind of like, okay, this is why you need a point guard. This just feel like this team has a general level of sloppiness that they're going to have to work on throughout the year, because it's not winning basketball having that many turnovers in a game. That is the one thing from last night's game where it's like that's not very good. And Reed Shepard can't play defense at all.
Yeah, there's a couple of ways to look at Reed Shepard. I didn't want to justify Reed Shepard ahead of some of these other guys because it's Reed Shepard. But they were going at him like back-to-back-to-back possessions. Like run a little screen action, top of the screen, force the switch, and then flat-out post him up. Like they were posting him up with dudes who like they don't even go to score. Like that was the offense for Dallas for a few possessions. Was, oh, Reed Shepard's on the floor? Oh, they're playing man-to-man? Mm-hmm. We're going to put whoever is on the floor for us in a low post against Reed Shepard and just flat-out beat him. And they did. They did. They forced Ime Udoka to go to a zone every time Reed Shepard was on the floor after those few possessions because they were absolutely targeting him. So he can't play defense, which was a fear. Like, good hands, that sort of thing, but he's ever going to be able to play, you know, and not even NBA defense, but like an Ime Udoka-level defense because he likes really good defensive players, and that's why they have a good defensive team, and he's always had good defensive teams. He can't guard anybody one-on-one. He can't do it. So anytime he's on the floor, you're going to have to go to his own defense because they're going to target him. So that's problematic. I think they've given up on him as a point guard. Like, they're not playing him on the ball anymore. Have you noticed that?
Yep.
They're playing him off the ball. A lot of times he's on the floor with the men. Whenever he's on the floor, they're letting Alpi Shingun bring the ball up the floor because they don't trust him to be the point. I do think that he's a decent passer off the ball, though. Like, you give him the ball, close out, drive, kick, that sort of thing. I think he's okay there. He's not a good passer from the point guard position. Ime Udoka also went to Aaron Holiday for the first time to get some point guard minutes in the second half yesterday. So I think Reed Shepard is starting to – I don't think he's – actually, he might be. I think he's starting to get lower and lower on the depth chart. Like, we've already seen Okogie jump him.
Mm-hmm.
Dorian Finney-Smith, when he comes back, is going to jump him. I think we're getting closer to Aaron Holiday jumping him. I don't think we're there yet. Because Udoka mentioned, like, he was more of a spark. He didn't love the way what he was seeing on the floor, use him as a spark. But I wonder if that day's coming at some point. But no, Reed, I mean, he has moments. I think they're going to continue to play him to see if he develops. I think he has a chance to be okay off the ball, but he's a defensive liability and he's not a point guard.
No, his best situation for him is going to be on be a basketball team that's very, very bad, in which they don't play any defense and he can take a lot of shots. And that's not here in Houston. I'm with you. Like, Aaron Holiday showing up last night. Like, that's his first game playing last night. That's not garbage time, I believe, this season. Like, they're not really – they haven't really used him at all.
No, they haven't.
Him and Jayshon Tate we saw last night on the court. So, I'm good if this is the path that we're headed down because I don't – I guess – I don't know if it's too early, man, but, like, I'm kind of out on Reed Shepard. I think it is early. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think it's early. Because I do think he's going to develop. He doesn't have a lot of NBA minutes, and he's still young. Like, I mean, he can develop. We see this happen all the time in the NBA.
Yeah, just he can't develop here.
I disagree.
Really?
I disagree. Yeah, I mean, I think that he, again, he has his limitations. He's not going to be able to play man-on-man defense. He on a like playoffs, like at best 15 minutes a game. But I do think that he can be a plus offensive player.
I hope you're right, but the jump shot's not even that consistent so far. It's not good enough to be as bad as you are on defense. And I know he's young, but like it hasn't been anything of what was promised. So,
I mean, shooting 42% from three.
I'm surprised that that's high because it does not feel that high when you watch him play basketball. To be
honest, I mean, you want him to be a 40% shooter. Like you, I mean, he's averaging 9.5. Like, I understand that, again, he has his limitations, but he's averaging 9.5 points a game this year with 42% three-point shooting after playing 52 games last year and averaging 12.5 minutes. Like, he's only 21. Like, I think he can be a plus offensive player. But, again, he's going to have major defensive limitations, and he's not a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
So you're hoping, like, best-case scenario, he can be like a poor man's J.J. Redick. You know what I mean? But that can help you. They can help you, and I think they are committed to allow him to get the minutes to develop, but I do think they've given up on him as a point guard, and I think that the actions of Udoka and his rotations and who's bringing the ball up the floor and who's initiating the offense has already told us that 6 games into the year, and he can't play defense.
No, he can't.
So bad.
And I'm not quite sure they play a good enough zone on a consistent basis to be able to adjust into that. Like, I think it's not just a reflection of Reed, but I haven't loved what we've seen from the zone defense so far this season, and I know they have gone to it a lot early and often, and especially the start of the season they were in it, but Reed was out there for a lot of those minutes, and they use it in the double big lineup as well, primarily it feels like, but if you can't run the zone successfully with if the other guys are also a problem on the court, but Reed forces you to be into the zone, mm-hmm. then it just becomes even a bigger problem. Like, the trickle down is just not worth whatever he's going to give you offensively if they're going to attack him in man. Because the book is, it feels a little written about the Rockets early in the season, is that if Reed's in the game, you know, you're going to attack him one-on-one. If he's bringing the ball up the court, you're going to press him or Alpi or KD because they're struggling to get the ball across half court at times. Like, the flaws of this roster, which I think is actually a positive that they're so obvious, are here 6 games into the season. I think we're going to quickly see Aaron Holiday take over that backup point guard role. And get more minutes.
Yeah, I think that was part of why he played yesterday. It's because Ime didn't like what he was seeing out of the zone, and Dallas did pretty well against it. He couldn't go to Reed because they're going to have to go to zone if Reed's on the floor. So instead he goes Holiday, they can continue to play man. I think that's why we saw it. I don't think that Holiday's jumped him yet, but I do think that it's
on the way.
It's on the table. I think it's in jeopardy, and not any time soon though, because I do think they're committed to giving Reed minutes to see what it looks like in a month or two.
You send him to the G League at some point then?
No,
like
of course
if
not.
If this continues to go,
why are you sending him to the G League?
Well, if he's not going to play, then how's he going to develop?
He's averaging 9 a game, shooting 42% from three.
Yeah,
he's
but if Aaron Holiday is going
to 20 minutes a game.
But if Aaron Holiday is going to keep taking more and more minutes from him, is it more beneficial?
Imminent. I don't think it's imminent. No, I don't think it's more beneficial. No, I think you need to showcase him at the NBA level. Maybe you trade him at the deadline.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think it's beneficial to go send him to the G League. And, like, I mean, why are we acting like he's not an NBA player? He's almost averaging double figures in a 42% three-point shooting clip. Like, he has a role in the NBA. I think he's got a role on the Rockets.
But if he has to develop more, he has to play more.
Every player has limitations, though.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You don't think this is enough, 20 and a half minutes a game?
I don't think it's going to continue that way, though. It's enough now, but if Holiday's going to play more, those minutes are going to go down.
Yeah, I just don't think that's imminent.
I was surprised with what it looked like last night. It makes me feel like it's going to happen a little quicker than you do.
Okay.
Within the next, like if he continues to play the way he does, because Ime's not patient. In a good way. Like, he's not patient with his players that are supposed to be out there in the fourth quarter. If they're not playing well, he doesn't play them. So if Reed's not giving him on a nightly basis what he wants to see, he's not going to be afraid to sit him down.
I mean, he still played him 17 minutes when he's averaging 20
yesterday.
Now, Jabari wasn't playing, so that's a factor there. But Jayshon Tate got like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
I think it depends on how the zone is looking that particular game. If they can play well in the zone, I don't think there's any problem playing Reed. But if the zone's being exploited and Reed's not shooting it well, I think we're going to see more Aaron Holiday. But I still think he's going to get 20 minutes a game, roughly. And I think he should. See what he turns into, knowing that he has limitations. I didn't think Durant was all that good yesterday. Efficient despite poor shooting. He was only 6 of 18 from the floor yesterday.
Yeah,
he was only
great.
2 of 8 from 3. He turned it over a few times in crunch time. But he also hit his only 2 threes in crunch time yesterday. And while he did not have a good shooting game, he still scored 21 points on 18 shots.
he hit the shots when it matters most.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take whatever the first three quarters were to get you into the fourth and hitting them in the clutch. That's what you brought him in for. That's why you wouldn't got Kevin Durant.
They didn't have
that guy last year. They didn't have – like, Jalen Green's not making that shot last year, it doesn't feel like.
No.
So he could be as bad as he was for three quarters. You hit that shot in the end, cool. We're good.
Yeah. Durant had a poor shooting game, and he hit critical shots. He had 6 rebounds, 5 assists, so he helped out the offense. If Jalen Green had a bad shooting game last year, he's scoring, like, 7 points with, like, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and, like, 5 turnovers. Like, even Durant's off nights, he's still going to get you 20 and still somehow be efficient on it. I thought Amin played really well. Maybe the best game he's had this year. I thought he was really good. All over the place.
I mean, that free throw sequence is incredible.
Yeah, you're talking to a guy that thinks we overrate highlights, though. Like, oh, that's great. He did a 270 reverse slam.
But it's not about that.
He missed a couple free throws.
Yeah, he missed the free throw, yes, but he gets the rebound. He makes the pass, and then he gets the alley-oop all in, like, basically 2 seconds. It's still very impressive. I'm with you. Sometimes you overrate highlights a little bit, but it's an impressive play nonetheless.
Yeah, like when Alpi Shingun makes like a no-look behind-the-back pass, like, oh my goodness, look at his skill set. But what we don't see is the 5 times before that he tried to do it and turned it over each time. Like, I don't love highlight culture, which I thought Alpi played pretty good yesterday too. I mean, 26-11, 6. Like, he was good. He still takes some poor shots for me. Still take some poor shots, and I hate the flamingo shot, Joe. I don't know if I've told you this before. I hate the flamingo shot. I think he shoots less than 20% on the flamingo shot.
What's the flamingo shot?
The little one-footed, like, fadeaway.
Oh, yeah. It's not great. He's not good at it. Baby Dirk.
No. You want some hyperbolic Hollins?
I was about to ask for it.
All right, let's get to some hyperbolic Hollins. We'll get your thoughts on the Rockets-Mavs yesterday as well. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN, 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
D&M Leasing just delivered a truck to a customer who had listened to D&M for more than 25 years. Keywords there, deliver. They bring it right to you. They can bring it to your office. They can bring it to your house. They can bring it to you while you're at lunch. For decades, this customer believed leasing was just renting a car, something you only did if you couldn't afford to buy. But that changed when the dealership offered him an 84-month loan. He knew he'd trade that truck in a few years. He'd end up upside down again, owing more than it's worth. So he called D&M Leasing. They showed him leasing isn't just about what you can afford. It's simply the smarter way most people pay for their vehicles. Leasing isn't renting. It's smarter. Make the smart call and get no payments until 2026. Call 713-290-1000 or visit dmautoleasing.com today for no payments until 2026.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. Ocho, I figured Tari would be part of any trade for a point guard, but I'm torn now because he's got Mario Elie from the corners. Yeah, I think I could see Tari and Reed packaged for something. Reed, Tari, salary for a point guard. I could see that on the table, possibility down the road,
yep.
Maybe near the deadline.
Yeah, and then if you want to be really ruthless, you trade Fred too.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of have like an understanding, though.
I know, but they shouldn't.
Yeah, but I think they do. I mean, time will tell. Houston basketball went 2-0 in the city yesterday. Rockets beat the Mavs and go Cougs, number two team in the country. Beat up on the Lehigh. Can you name the Lehigh mascot name?
Nope.
Mountain Hawks. A lot of Mountain Hawks up in Lehigh. Do you know where they're from?
Philly?
Lehigh? Huh?
Philly?
Pennsylvania. They're in Bethlehem. All I don't know where Bethlehem is in relationship to Philly. I don't know how close it is, but I'll give you that.
All right.
Pennsylvania.
W.
That's not bad. Name the state. Got the state, not the mascot. Not bad. Not bad, Joe.
800 wins.
For 800 wins is so many wins.
So many.
So many. Elite college basketball coach, no doubt about it. Elite coach. Select few. Emmanuel Sharp looked good. Looked really good. 20, I think he finished with 24. 24, somewhere around there. And then the freshmen looked good. Sinak had a double-double in his freshman debut. There's so many good freshmen across the country. Sinak's up there. Boozer from Duke. Pete from Arizona. Pete went off against the defending champion. Yes, he had 30.
BYU kid was good last night.
Yeah, he was good. Villanova, I think, is going to be better. Kansas has that Peterson kid. The freshman class this year in college basketball is insane. And most of them are in the Big 12, too. It's going to be a fun year. All right, Hyperbolic Hollins, Joe. I got two of them for you here.
Ready.
So let's see how hyperbolic Ryan Hollins got on the Hyperbolic Hollins scale. The first one, Kevin Durant hit a mid-range jumper, which, I mean, we know that that's kind of like his shot. Hollins puts the Kevin Durant mid-range jumper into the most iconic shots conversation.
You got Jabbar, Skyhook, Michael's fadeaway, and the midi from Durant. How about that, Coach?
All right. How hyperbolic is this one, Joe?
10.
He's putting it into the conversation as the Skyhook and Michael Jordan's fadeaway.
That's crazy. That's the craziest one he said yet, and I love Kevin Durant. Yes. That's number one. That's crazy.
And there's a glaring omission from his list that he put out there.
A dream shake.
Yes. Hakeem. You're in Houston,
Hollins.
How do you not mention Hakeem's dream shake?
He's not a Houston guy.
Yeah, but you got to know that's the team you talk about. You get paid
he's
to talk about.
He's been here long enough to be able to mention Hakeem's dream shake.
He's probably met Dream 100 times at this point.
I'm not sure, guys. He thought Yao Ming had the handles for a perimeter guy. I'm not sure. I don't know.
That's the number one seed. For the end of the year hyperbolic Hollins bracket.
You putting that up there?
I think it's number one.
I feel like that might be a little hyperbolic.
I don't think so. You can't ignore Dream and some of the other great basketball players. It's a mid-range jump
shot. To me, it's more of a bad take than a hyperbolic take. Well, it's both, but to me, I put more on bad take.
It's definitely hyperbolic.
Yeah, no, I know.
Crazy.
I know.
What are the most iconic shots? Because like the sky hook for me would be up there. The dream shake.
Yeah, it's up there.
Like I think Dream Shake might be like more local than like national. Like people still know. No, hear me out. Like people still know the Dream Shake, but no one nationally is putting the Dream Shake with the Sky Hook.
Yeah. Probably not.
Whereas we're going to do that in Houston. I don't think you would do that outside of Houston. Still an iconic shot, but I think that the Sky Hook is probably the most iconic when you look at this from a national lens.
It is. I think I'd also put Dirk's fadeaway on there.
See, the Jordan
maybe
fadeaway?
Tim Duncan's bank shot.
Interesting. That's a weird one.
I was to be honest with you, Brian, I'm with you.
Are you
really?
The Duncan bank shot came to my mind too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what he got the big fundamental off of.
See, I don't symbolize Jordan's fadeaway with Jordan. I know he did it a lot, But like the most iconic Jordan shots that we remember, like highlight-worthy shots, the biggest shots of his career, most of them aren't fadeaways. Like you got the three against Portland where he's shrugging his shoulders. Mm-hmm. You got the shot over Russell against Utah, which is kind of like an elbow jumper after a crossover pullback.
Yeah.
Like I know he was great in the low post, but like I don't really associate the fadeaway with Jordan.
No, I think it's what he did like with like his layup package that he had.
Yeah, all that stuff. The finger roll, like 180.
Yeah, up and under, like all the different things the way he could attack without having to dunk it, but then also being able to throw it down with the best of them. Like I put that ahead of the fadeaway.
I mean, what's the Jumpman logo? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what are some ones that we're missing, though? Like, iconic shots. Would you throw just a Larry Bird three?
I was going to say like a Steph Curry step back three.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah, for sure. That deserves to be in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, the Larry three is kind
of
boring.
Kevin Durant midi is one of the most iconic shots
it's crazy.
Of all time.
That's crazy. That's a crazy take.
A shot that's pretty much been dead like, in the NBA other than Kevin Durant.
Like Kobe did it. Like there are so many guys that did that shot. I mean, that's crazy.
Oh, we had a texter say the Duncan Bank,
yeah.
The granny shot. That was Barry.
Yeah,
that
it was Barry. That's Barry. A good call.
The
that's
granny
call.
Shot from the free throw line, the one-footed Dirk fadeaway.
Yep.
Kobe has a more iconic mid-range jumper than KD, says Eric the Buyer. That's probably fair. Kobe was more famous with the fadeaway. That's probably fair. I hated him, but the Karl Malone fadeaway, the Ben Simmons frightened jumper.
I saw that one.
That one's pretty good. All right, so that one was a 10 on your Holland's hyperbole. All right, here's the second one. You know, the NBA got rid of the they don't count a shot for a player who heaves it up at the buzzer. I don't even know how they grade this. I guess it's scorer's discretion.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a heave from beyond half court. I don't really know the legalities here. But if you heave up a shot at the buzzer from far away, it no longer counts against the player's stat. It's not a three-point attempted. So yesterday, Tari had like a half-court heave that he missed, and it didn't count as one of his shots. And it happened to the end of the third quarter, and they came back in the fourth quarter, and Ackerman's like, oh, yeah, this won't count against his shot. And then they kind of like argued about it here. And Hollins claims that eliminating the heave from players' stats is great for the game.
The Rockets, backed by Tari Eason, you miss those things, remember, doesn't count anymore.
Yes, and that's so good for the game.
Oh, you think?
Because it bothers the guys in the contract year, and you don't want that three-point percentage to be bad.
It's
true.
You're soft. That's soft. I don't like the change. You have former player.
Well, you go into a contract negotiation, they tell you you don't shoot 40% from three, and you lose a couple $1 million, Craig, so it is a factor.
Two shots a season, and to bring it down to 39.8.
Good for the game.
Dude, good
for the game. Eliminating the heave is right up there with the introduction of the shot clock. It's right up there with the adoption of the three-point line. It's right up there with the Bird-Magic rivalry. It's right up there with Michael Jordan. It's up there with the merger between the ABA and the NBA. The half-court heave is one of the greatest things that has happened in the history of the sport.
I mean, it's like this guy, man. Thank you, Craig, for pushing back. I think I'm going to call my shot right now. There's going to be an awkward blow up this year.
Nah.
There's going to be
friendly.
Like, there's going to be something that, like, I think Craig's going to snap back and Ryan's not going to like it. And it's going to be very awkwardly silent.
I don't think Hollins is soft like that.
I mean, he better not be. I mean, look, and we knew this. Like, if you go back and look at some of the garbage that he used to say on First Take, like, he used to put out crazy things all the time. But, like, defending, like Craig is right. You're losing $4 or $5 million over two shots a year?
Yeah, that was an insane thing. You're going to lose $2 or $3 million a year in contract negotiations because you're a 39% three-point shooter instead of a 40% three-point shooter because these NBA scouts and general managers don't have the ability to look up a shot chart.
if that happened to you, Ryan, you should sue your old agent for being a moron if that's why you're defending this so much, because I don't understand. What are you like? It's great for the game.
He goes, guys, it's so good for the game.
It. When are guys ever scared to take that shot, Jeremy?
No, you do. No, to be fair, there are players who do not shoot it. There were players who just ate it. It's 100% factual. There were dudes who would not put up the heave because they didn't want it to hurt their shooting percentage. That absolutely happened. Why did they change this rule? Because the NBA wanted to see some heaves.
That's just I don't understand. I don't understand how it could be so great for the game. What is this guy on?
He said it's so great for the game, Craig.
Like,
it's so good for the game that they got rid of this three-point attempt for a statistical category because players didn't want to heave it up at the end of games or end of quarters. It's good for the game. Where is this on the hyperbolic scale?
This one is where like I'm just like, this is such a bad take.
So good for the game.
A six? Because it's more just like it's a 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10 bad take.
Yeah.
But hyperbolic, yeah. It's like a six.
I think it's pretty hyperbolic here. It's pretty hyperbolic.
I'd be concerned that we could find one or two of these each game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not only am I finding one or two, Joe, but I'm finding one or two that are pretty high on the scale.
Yes. Like, are there lower ones that you're intentionally not using?
Not too rude, okay. Not too much. Like if I see it, I put it on there. But maybe, I mean, I banked these pretty early, so maybe I kind of like mail it in the rest of the way.
You're just like, I got my grades.
I got two.
Day.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Now there was a game last week. I forgot who they played where he didn't have any. Like, so to be fair.
Yeah, but he's at what's the average in a game right now? 1.5.
Probably
1.4.
Yeah. Which, I mean, if we eliminate some of these hyperbolic heaves, maybe he would have a better percentage. Maybe you'd give him a couple million in his next contract.
I just don't understand.
Oh, man,
the Kevin Durant, I can't get over the Kevin Durant one still. Like, putting it in that category with those shots.
There's the sky hook, there's the Jordan fadeaway, there's the Durant midi.
Like, he's just got to, because I get where he's going, but he's just got to take a deep breath and think a little bit before saying it.
Yeah, it's like, hey, that's really crucial to his game, you know? Like, that's iconic for his game. That's his MO. That's his signature. But his signature doesn't mean it's the most iconic signatures in the history of the sport.
Yeah, he's also very just wrong with this last one. It should still count.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's pretty soft for NBA players to not heave it up because they're worried about one percentage point.
Yeah,
like these guys know, like they can look at a shot chart, dude. Like you're not gonna be penalized for a heave. I know it statistically it brings you down, but it's not going to hurt you in contract negotiations. Let's not be brand new. Let's not be noobs. George Gervin finger roll, great call. Great call. Ray Allen bang, Harden Eurostep, and 17 step back threes. Yeah, I thought about that too.
I mean, the travel, yeah, it's super iconic.
It's Kareem and then everyone else. Nothing compares. I do agree. I think locally you can throw the Dream Shake in there. Shaq's free throw, said somebody. Ginobili up and under layups. Hollins is special. Bird's jumper, Duncan bank shot, Dirk fadeaway, Dream Shake, Iverson's pull up. Iverson's pull-up off a crossover.
Mm-hmm.
I would throw that in there. Those are good calls. Steph's three. LeBron's weird look-away three-pointer. What about LeBron's fake look-away three-pointer? Hollins is not reading that. That's too mean. Magic no-look dimes. Not a shot, but good call.
Yeah, if we're including that stuff, then the chase down for LeBron has to be up there.
Yeah. It's still a shot, so it shouldn't count as a shot. Bill Cartwright? He did have a funny-looking jumper. He shot it, like, way up here. It was, like, across his face. Remember that?
Yeah.
You know that. You're a Chicago guy.
I do remember that.
Do you, though? You were young.
I mean, I've seen the highlights.
Hate you like that. All right, 713-780-3776. Cash or trash with Jeremy and Joe. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Fast breaks, buzzer beaters, block parties are back. We were talking about some basketball here. Basketball is back, and we love it. And the best place to be for basketball all season long is Underdog. They are the best place to get in on all the action all basketball season long. You're listening probably from Texas, so go ahead, do it now. Playing an Underdog is so easy. Just pick whether your favorite players are go higher or lower on a bunch of different stats. Higher or lower on points, higher or lower on rebounds, higher or lower on steals, and much, much more. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash. And what are you waiting for, man? Like, what are you waiting for? If you download the app right now, the Underdog app, sign up with promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B, get it right, K-I-L-L-E-R-B, you put in $5, they're going to give you bonus entries of $100. Like, how do you spend $5 every day? Sometimes you see some bronies around the office go put $5 in the vending machine and eat all these empty calories. Don't do that. Don't do that. Repurpose your $5 into Underdog and then get $100 in bonus entries. And then who knows, play your cards right. And you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. And now you have all of the vending machine snacks. Now you have all of the empty calories. So think wiser whenever you're using your funds. And download the Underdog app right now. Look at this tonight. You got a little Golden State and Phoenix tonight. We just talked about Steph Curry, his iconic three-point shooting. 26.5 points for Steph Curry tonight. You like the higher or lower there? You know Ball, go prove it. Devin Booker, he's at 28.5 points. You like the higher or lower there? You know Ball, go prove it. Download the Underdog app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. Underdog, make picks, win money.
Crypto.com predictions powered by Underdog Predicts. Trading derivatives involves risk and may not be appropriate for all. For more information, visit nadex.com/rules and underdogfantasy.com/rules. For Crypto.com predictions, the term PIC refers to a product traded on CDNA. Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With Jeremy and Joe.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash 'em or trash 'em with Jeremy and Joe, 713-780-3776. What are you cashing? A Worthy's dunk, Chuck Hayes' cleanest free throws I've ever seen. Kevin Martin had a unique shooting motion. All those are true. Kevin Martin and Chuck Hayes are not making the list of most iconic shots in history. Worthy's dunk's good. That's a good call on that. All right, cash or trash, Joe? What are you cashing? What are you trashing?
You mentioned mentioned something yesterday that like, it caught my ears. We didn't really get into it, but I've been thinking about it. I am not interested in Kevin Stefanski as the future offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. Cash or trash?
What's the cash or trash?
I don't want him.
I want a cash or trash.
It's a bad hire. It's the same thing. It's a bad hire if they make it.
So
hiring Kevin Stefanski would be a bad idea.
I trashed that.
Because they wouldn't get any better on offense? Like, why is it a bad hire?
Because for the second year in a row, he's giving up play calling. He can't even call his own plays in Cleveland. He gave it up again to Tommy Rees.
I don't think it's because of offensive prowess, though.
But why is he not calling plays?
Because so he can look at the defense.
Because the rest of D'Amico his team is a wreck.
I'm not
Why did D'Amico give up play calling? D'Amico had the number one defense in the NFL. Like, maybe not.
He gave it up so he could call fullback dives to British Brooks.
Exactly. Yeah. Really helping his team out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that this is a, like, he's bad at offense thing.
I don't know. I just don't get it. Like, he's clearly a better mind than Tommy Rees. Why are you giving it up?
His last
what is it going to help you?
Been pretty bad offensive. Last 2 years have been pretty bad.
I just don't get why he's giving up 2 years in a row. Like, it's in the different offensive coordinators. It's just strange to me.
Yeah.
It's strange. So I'm out on Kevin Stefanski. So
okay, I'm gonna trash it.
Trash.
Yeah, I'll trash it as well.
Right. Trash.
I hear what you're saying, Joe, but I think you have to first factor in what he'd be in a, you know, hiring to replace, and he can't be anything but improvement from Nick Caley.
Well, that's true, but it doesn't mean I want him.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, it's your opinion, man. I'm not going to, you know, you're entitled to that.
Thanks.
It's free country. I wrote this one down today. It's going to sound like a contradiction. It's going to sound like hypocritical Branham, but I ain't no punk. I ain't going to go back on my word. Reed Shepard will not be in the rotation come playoff time.
Cash.
Yeah, easy cash.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that was going to be an easy sell.
So when you say not in the rotation, you mean like literally 0 minutes?
No, he might get minutes like garbage time, but he's not going to be in the main rotation. Now, there's also a couple caveats to this. Now, and it sounds like I'm being hypocritical, but I'm not, because I said he's still going to have a bit of a runway. A bit of a runway doesn't mean playoff time. The other caveat to this is he can be traded.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I kind of... When I cashed, I kind of included that in my thought process as
You're
well.
You're so smart.
Yeah, he's either not going to be on the team or he's not going to play.
You know Ball. All right, Brian, what you got?
So despite the trades they made today, I don't think it's going to make a bit of a difference for the Dallas Cowboys. And not only do they still finish below 500, but they're like four games out of the NFC East when the season comes to end. You look at their upcoming schedule. Raiders, that's probably a win at home, although I would have thought the same about the Cardinals. I actually picked that in our fix. But after that, they got the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Lions, their next three. There's also a game against the Chargers in December. I don't think these trades today are going to make a bit of difference. Cowboys still a below 500 team, even after these trades.
I cash it. There's a chance they don't finish last in the division, I guess.
I didn't say that. I just think they'll finish below 500 and at least four games out of the lead.
But, like, I don't think anyone in that division besides the Eagles finishes close to 500 this year.
Is that goalpost moving, though?
For who?
For Brian.
How?
Because you said it didn't make a difference.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're 3-5-1 right now. If they go 7, I guess it would be 7-8-1. I mean, that's basically what I'm saying. That basically saying the trade didn't improve them at all.
I think their defense will be better. So, like, I mean, I'm nitpicky semantics here. Like, I agree with your overall point that they're not going to go from a team out of the playoffs to a team in the playoffs. But I do think their defense will be better.
It'll improve, but it won't improve enough.
Yeah, which that's why I was asking if that was goalpost moving.
No, because it wasn't the point I was making.
It's what you said, though. You said that they're not going to improve at all. Like, they're not.
Well,
I
was basing it upon their record, though.
Okay.
Well, right now they're a team that's two games below 500. I think they're going to finish the season basically the same. That's not improving.
Well, it's clarified better now.
I mean, it's what
I clarified
said.
It better it's now. Is that what you said? Yeah, is that what you said?
Well, I didn't say that, but that's what I meant.
I'll cash the record. Okay. I'll trash their defensive prowess.
You'll trash what I didn't say. Okay, cool.
Yeah, but you didn't say it either. You didn't clarify, Brian. 713-780-ESPN. Cash or trash, by the time the Texans fix the offense, the defense will be a weakness.
Cash.
Trash it. I think they can. Trash. I think they can fix the offense by next season. Not
really?
Doing anything today didn't help. Yeah, I do. If they finish with the 10th pick in the draft, you go offensive lineman. You have to hit. I understand the fear there, the lack of confidence there. But I think the offensive line could be better. I think it could be pretty good as soon as next season. They got to hit.
Who's running the ball? Woody?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter who's running the ball. It matters more about the offensive line. But I think there'll be players in for a free agent running back.
Yeah.
I think Casario kind of does that.
I just, like, for me, it's when we think about these contracts and how you're going to balance out, you know, who stays and who goes. And it feels like it's mostly defensive guys that you're going to be talking about. Like, are you going to pay Kamari Lassiter? Are you going to pay Jalen Petrie again? Who's going to be the other edge on the outside of the other side of Will Anderson? Like, is Kalen Bullock going to be worth a contract? Like, how much of this defense are you going to have to replace as your roster gets very expensive?
Yeah, it does. It does. I think you can find solid running backs, though. To me, it matters more about the offensive line than the running backs. You can find good enough running backs behind a good offensive line who are going to do numbers. Give me a good offensive line over, like, a good running back. Colt fan, Colts will win the AFC South with the Gardner edition. Just crown us.
Cash?
Yeah, cash. I would have been there before the Gardner edition. Yeah. It didn't take the Gardner edition. But that helps.
Yeah, it helped a lot. But, like, Jacksonville's not catching.
No. Cash or trash, Mike McCarthy should be the next OC for the Texans.
Trash.
Trash.
That too.
Trash.
Cash or trash, Rockets are the number one seed in the West come playoff 10.
Trash.
Yeah,
trash.
That one too.
Trash.
Denver or OKC will still be it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Cash or trash, this Holly Rowe breaking up with her hot boyfriend because he was mean to Pat Summitt.
I'm going to tell you this part first. I had a really hot boyfriend, and he was Mr. Switzerland, bodybuilder. We dated for 4 years, and when I say smoking hot. And the reason we broke up was we were at the ESPYs, and Pat Summitt had just gotten this award, the Arthur Ashe Courage Award, because she'd just been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. And I'm in the audience, and I'm just bawling at the ESPYs, and he asked me, "What's wrong with you? She's just a coach." And so we broke up. So I just need you to understand, I gave up Mr. Switzerland because of Pat Summitt. This is a true story.
Cash or trash?
Trash.
She gave up Mr.
Trash,
Switzerland for Pat
trash, 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 trash. There's
trash.
No way.
What part are you trash?
Trash.
All of it. There's no way that story
is true. I don't think she had that
true.
Boyfriend one.
I'm cashing this. I'm cashing this.
All we, of like, it?
Yeah, I'm cashing all of it. Mm. I don't think Holly Rose is a liar.
That
Holly
is
not
the
a liar.
Softest
an lady.
Reason ever to break up with someone. Then.
It feels like the more time someone tells me about their hot girlfriend or boyfriend, like they have to keep throwing it into the sentence, the less and less I believe them that that person existed.
But beauty's in the eye of the beholder, Brian.
Oh, so you think he was actually an uggo?
I mean, there's probably some people who think you're handsome.
That was an unnecessary blow.
Sorry, he's just on a tee. I apologize. But, I mean, we don't know that this guy was super hot. She was just super hot in the eyes of Holly Rowe. Funny story. It's not so funny. Holly Rowe once told me that I had a pretty tie. So I think she has good taste, Holly Rowe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She has good taste. I bet you Mr. Switzerland was a very handsome guy, just like my tie was really nice. Holly Rowe.
Yeah, I don't think that's the reason why she broke up with him then. There's something else going on. Maybe it was the final straw, but
yeah,
I don't believe that.
I mean, what makes you think Holly Rowe's a liar? She's not Deanna Russini.
I just don't believe that's the reason why you break up with someone.
Saints Patrick, cash or trash? The Saints will have the first pick in the draft.
Oh, cash. That's hard because there's a lot of bad teams.
I'm gonna trash. I think it'll be the Jets. I'm laughing at this text.
Trash.
Chris and Humble says if Holly Rowe's boyfriend was hot, he needed citizenship.
That's mean.
Cash or trash? I have a girlfriend, but she lives in Canada and goes to a different school, so you wouldn't know her.
Cash.
Brian, I feel sorry for you. I don't know how you work with that numbskull Branham all day long. Yeah, it is challenging.
Cash.
I apologize in advance. All right, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. What about these NFL overreactions? Do we think these are cash or trash worthy? It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN at 92.5. Cash or trash? Pro Dunk makes the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. Cash! In fact, don't waste your time in these big box stores. It's not worth your time. Their goals aren't any good. The backboard's going to be messed up. The rim's going to be unlevel. The wind might blow it down like a 5-mile-per-hour gust. That thing's on its belly in no time. Get a goal from Pro Dunk. Make it worth your time. Highest quality basketball goals you'll find. Tempered glass backboard. It's like what you see in the pro gyms, the college gyms. Gives you that true, authentic feel when you kiss a shot off the glass. It's got stainless steel hardware, rust-proof, which is must-have in Houston. It's got a breakaway rim for you, too. Well, why would I need a breakaway rim? Because it's height-adjustable. Lower it down to 5 feet if you need to. Raise it up to 10 feet. Regulation size, but it's great. Breakaway rim, you can dunk on it. You can hang on it. It's going to keep you safe. It's got the extended overhang, too, so you don't have to worry about rolling your ankles in a basketball stanchion. I don't know who would have weak ankles, but, yeah. I'm saying that for a friend. Their accessories are next level, too. LED light kits for night play, backstop nets, pole pad lettering, and lots more. And you can order all of it online at ProDunk.com. That's right. All of it at ProDunk.com. And right now, if you call ProDunk, mention hearing this ad on ESPN, you're going to receive that lightning adjust drill-powered height adjustment feature for free. You know how much that sucker costs? $249. And you're getting it for free because you listen to Jeremy and Joe. Installed for free, too. Helps you raise and lower the goal 10 times faster with zero effort. It's awesome. So take advantage of this deal right now. 281-351-9822. 281-351-9822. Or visit online at produnk.com. That's produnk.com.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Cash or trash, lazy man enchiladas. Putting two frozen bean and cheese burritos and a can of enchilada sauce in a small casserole dish and dumping a ton of shredded cheese and tossing it into the oven.
Cash it. Let's try it. Why not?
I'm trashing it. Why not just eat the frozen bean and cheese burritos without the can of enchilada sauce?
I don't
know if that's enhancing it. Is that enhancing it?
I think I might have to, be a little intoxicated if I try that.
But. Man, I would have to meditate so much after that.
Yeah, you would. I thought the show was going to get on late today so you could meditate.
Yeah, I cut it close. I cut it close. My meditation sesh went pretty close to the... Luckily, Eisen went late today for some reason. That's the first time that's ever happened. Usually, we're on at like 59. Today, it was like 302.
Yeah, well, it wasn't Eisen. That's why.
Oh, it wasn't?
Well, we had a bailout because of the deadline, so we went to their live programming.
What?
Because we taped delay Rich Eisen, so we went to a different show for an hour.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I listen to 97.5 all the time. I'm a company man, though. Watch this.
Is that accurate?
YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. The Astros made a couple of moves here, Joe.
They did.
They've placed Chaz McCormick on outright waivers. No surprise there for me. Along with John Rooney. I think he was hurt. So, like, okay. Kennedy Corona, who they added to the 40-man because they didn't want to make him available in the Rule 5 draft. Was that last year or 2 years ago? I can't remember. And then Luis Garcia and Pedro Leon have also been waived. None of these surprising to me. What about you?
No, I'm not surprised by any of them. And I think that does enough for how many guys they had because they had 37 players on the 40-man, but they had 8 players. So I think that covers enough. They don't think they have to make any more cuts. I'm not surprised. Luis Garcia definitely wasn't coming back. We all knew that.
Yeah.
Pedro Leon hasn't really shown anything, so it's probably time to move on. I don't know a ton about the other two guys, and I'm not shocked by Chaz.
No.
He was sent down.
Yeah, he was sent down. Like, it was, and you say, well, it was like $4 million, something like that. Luis Garcia was like two and change, but he wasn't going to pitch final year of club control. Rooney was just a guy. Corona turned out to be just a guy. And Pedro Leon never panned out. And like you mentioned, they had to make room on the 40-man so they could transfer all the 60-day IL guys back onto the 40-man. Maybe the news here is what's not here. Some people wanted Jesus Sanchez waived, which I thought was ridiculous. If you're going to get rid of him, you should trade him.
I think that's a casual take if you think he should have been outrighted today.
I mean, you saw it.
Yep, and those are casuals.
Not so much today. More like, hey, this is our contract situation. Let's just waive this guy and clear that money. But I think he could be a guy that is traded in the offseason. That wouldn't surprise me.
No, it wouldn't shock me at all.
It's kind of, I mean, those dudes did have legendary moments. I mean, Chaz McCormick had the catch, you know, where they, you know, did the imprint of his body on the warning track. Had the big postseason run. Luis Garcia had some postseason runs too. He had some legendary postseason games. It's sad the way they ended. This was a necessary. These were obvious decisions, but it is sad how they ended.
Yeah, I mean Luis Garcia specifically. Like, it's just a disappointment that, you know, being out for that long with Tommy John, having to come back, I think rushed back clearly, and then having to have Tommy John again. It sucks that his career ends this way with the Astros.
Which time did he rush back?
This last one. He was throwing 86 in the minors. He wasn't ready.
Yeah, I think he rushed back the first time.
I think both times. Like, he was on the mound throwing 85, 86. Like, that's what he's topping out on. Like, that's the guy. Like, you think he's ready for rehab starts when he's throwing 85?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think it's shocking that he's having Tommy John again. And unfortunately for him, it doesn't feel like this has a better story than, like, Jose Urquidy still pitched this year. The Astros did it last year to Urquidy. He got to pitch for the Tigers this year. I don't foresee that happening with Garcia this season, obviously.
No, I think he's done.
He's like he's a 2027 guy.
Yeah, the way that they handled Luis Garcia was a disaster.
Yep.
It was no good. 713-780-3776. Somebody said you're supposed to do it chimichangas. They're called chimicholatas. It sounds so gringo.
It does.
My ancestors would be so disappointed I'm even talking about this
right now.
They
would be.
Like, what are you talking about? What is this?
And I'm Mexica.
Can we outright our medical staff? They kind of did.
They already got fired.
We shouldn't laugh at the demise of Daniel Jeremiah.
They'll find good jobs.
Daniel Jeremiah is a business owner in the Woodlands.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how I know that. Maybe LinkedIn? You know who really likes Daniel Jeremiah?
Will Doctor?
Will Doctor loves Daniel Jeremiah.
Big time. There's a spat on Twitter about Daniel Jeremiah.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that a lot.
It was strange.
It was. Like, I didn't have that on my bingo card in 2025. Yeah. Paul Gallant and Will Doctor going toe-to-toe on Twitter. That was funny. All right, anyway, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Guys, I think this was a perfect weekend to prove that a 2014 playoff in college football is the way to go. The proof's in the pudding. It's not even me telling you this. It is the stars aligning telling you this. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. I just got a text from HRMP. Can't imagine why. Mike Holla, U of H class of 1990. Go Cougs. Chris Fisher over there. Chris Fisher has to be so happy right now the way his Aggies are playing. I'm happy for him. But HRP has been protecting the interest of businesses for 25 years. That's how long they've been around. It's hard to do that, too. That's how it speaks to the greatness of HRP. And HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services such as HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. It's all the stuff you don't want to do. HRP is going to do it for you. And look, HRP is not, you're not reading off a menu with them. You're like, hey, can you help me with this? Or no. HRP is going to work with you to customize a plan for what your business needs. Nothing cookie cutter, not reading off that menu. You need a little bit of help. You need a lot of help. Anything in between, HRP is going to create a plan for what you and your business needs. Also, they're just a great teammate to have in your corner. They stay up to date with all the current trends in the business world, all the current trends that you need to know, you don't have the time to know. HRP is going to know it for you. Their customer service, top notch. You never talk to somebody you don't know on the other side of the line. You'll never talk to a stranger. Everybody you talk to is going to be familiar with you, familiar with your company. It's that top notch customer service that really sets them apart. And I can speak to that customer service. We use HRP here at Gal. Thankful that we do because they are very helpful. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources, eliminate those HR burdens so you can get back to growing your business or playing more golf. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.